that Jesus was born. We all know. As a matter of fact, let me borrow my baby for a second. I know she's so peaceful right now. Come here, sweetheart. Most of you guys know the story of our little sweet baby. And she had some troubles on the day she was born when they took her out, and it took them 5 minutes to get her till she was breathing. Like, she was alive, and her eyes were open. They had the little squeeze thing where they breathe for you, and it took her 5 minutes before she actually would let out a whimper of a cry and start kind of breathing for herself. And it was a stressful day for me. I mean, I'm watching my baby who's just been born and worried, is she going to make it? Praying to God, Lord, don't let her die. And she came through it. It took her, she was 10 days in the NICU, and she improved. But I imagine, man, what would happen if we didn't have the kind of medical technology we have and the training that the doctors, the nurses have. And I was just so thankful for all the help that they gave us. And it makes me think of baby Jesus, who was born out in the middle of a rural town where obviously they didn't have the medical training and the technology. I mean, what did Mary go through on that day where she didn't have room in the living space? She had to be where the animals were kept. And I just think about Adelaide. She's twice as big as when she was born. She's growing. Jesus was probably about half this weight, you know, a little tiny baby like she was when she was born and brought into the world. And what's amazing is that baby child, that little boy, would spend he'd have the perfect life. Not perfect, obviously, in the sense that nothing would go wrong, that he'd have a wonderful experience and everything, but perfect in the sense that morally, he never did anything wrong. He never lied. He never cheated. He never stole. He never lusted. He never had an evil thought. Never did an evil action. He honored his parents every single day. He honored God with his life. He lived a life for us to follow, to say, I'm leaving my throne room of heaven, and I'm going to show you how it's done. Now you do likewise. And it's amazing that that's the kind of life that he lived. And so after living that life, his perfect life, he gave it up. Never having done anything wrong, the one man who we know was perfect in every single way gave up his life. The man who knew no guilt, who knew no sin, became sin. He went to the cross and he gave up his life as a sacrifice, because Jeff mentioned in Sunday school, the sacrificial system had been going on for 1,400 years. Is that it? Yeah, that God had given the Jews, as they're traveling, the rules and regulations for atoning for sin, and you kill an animal, and you'd think it'd be enough that they would slaughter the best of their flock. You know, shepherds, there's not a lot of shepherds around anymore, but at least in our area, shepherds, they'd get close to their animals. They knew them. They'd give them names. They'd call them. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, right? They names them. He knows them. You'd think it'd be enough to give up your best animal, to have to kill it and sacrifice it because of something that you did that was not right. And it wasn't enough. And God looked down on the world. Adelaide was sick last night. And she cries when she's hungry or wet or things like that. But last night was the first time that I'd heard her cry out of pain. And it hurt me to hear her cry, knowing there's, what can I do? She can't explain what's wrong. I'm not sure what's wrong. What do we do? How do we handle it? And I prayed to God, if there was some way for me to take that pain and take it on myself, gladly, I'd do it. Gladly, whatever she was experiencing, I'd just give it to me and take it away from her, because she doesn't understand. She doesn't know what's going on. And I think that's exactly what God felt, looking down on this broken world, and said, I've got to do something. I've got to do something that will wake them up, help them realize that they don't have to live the way that they're living. And so he went to the cross and suffered immensely. And it wasn't I don't think it was the physical stuff that really hurt him the most. I think it was the spiritual torment of, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think the man who never felt guilt, never felt shame, never felt what it feels like when you cut yourself off from God because of your rebellion. And I think he kind of experienced, I think he got a taste of what that must be like. He'd never sinned, but now he's experiencing what that must be like. And I think that crushed his heart. I think that broke him. And he cried out and he gave up his life. so that we, and he gave his life as an atonement, so that no more would we have to kill animals, because that's not what God wants. He doesn't want the blood of goats and rams. He wants a broken heart. He wants us to turn our lives around and come follow him. So Jesus said, I will be that final atonement. I will be that place. And you don't kill animals anymore. You see how important this is. You see the results of sin and change your life. And here's what I think about on Christmas. You know, you've heard it said probably that you will never find Christmas under a tree if you don't find Christmas in your heart. Have you ever heard that? No? Okay, then forget that. When I think about Christmas, I think about Jesus Christ. You know, we spend billions of dollars on toys and gifts and decorations. I wrote down a few statistics here. $30.5 billion in retail stores at Christmas time, and another $39 billion for Christmas gifts over the internet. That's just in America. That's the Americans. And then more than $493 million were spent on Christmas trees. The U.S. imported nearly $594 million worth of Christmas tree ornaments just from China. I mean, we spend like crazy. We name our cities for Santa. There's North Pole, Alaska, Santa Claus, Indiana, and Rudolph, Wisconsin. The neighbors battle to see who can put up the most lights in their yard. We've got the Griswolds next door to us, and it's just... You know, and so people work hard to decorate, and I'm not against any of that. You know, I like the decorations, I like the music, I love the spirit that seems, you know, people seem to be a little more friendly, a little more generous, and I love that. And it seems even though there's a lot of people fighting against anything that represents Jesus at Christmas time, there's still a lot of people that they love to say Merry Christmas, and you hear a little bit more of Christianity coming out at Christmas time, because that's what it's all about. And Jesus Christ was born to change the world. I mean, he changed the calendar. I don't know if you know, but after Jesus, they reworked the calendar. So BC stands for before Christ, and AD stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. But he's supposed to change more than that. He's supposed to change us. He's supposed to change us on the inside. So the question is, do you, because of the birth of that little baby who would live his life as a perfect example for us to follow and then die on a cross, has your life changed? Has your life been altered? Do you live in righteous gratitude for what Jesus has done for you? I've got five Christmas scriptures that I'm going to read. I printed them out, so I'll go quick. Romans 12, 1, 2. Not 1 and 2. Not normally your Christmas scriptures, but this is Christmas right here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what Jesus wants for Christmas. You know, we talk about it's Jesus' birthday, and you want to give something to Jesus? Let your life be transformed by the renewing of your mind and do what God tells us to do. Here's the true hope of Christmas. You know, we talk about the hope of Christmas, and you always hear sappy stories that melt your heart, and it's lots of, you know, we enjoy that kind. We like that spirit of Christmas and giving thing. Here's the true hope of Christmas. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will all share in his glory. So put to death sinful and earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. That's the hope of Christmas. We like to think that Christmas is for kids. We buy toys, we fill stockings, we go take pictures with Santa at the mall. And you know, Christmas is a good time for children and families. Here's the good model for Christmas for kids, to live our lives like Christ did. Let kids see what life is supposed to like be like and grow up in living for God, grow up knowing Jesus, grow up living in a righteous household. 2 Corinthians 5, at verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That's a theme going on here. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So that's the number one lesson we can teach kids. We're the ambassadors. We're to tell them to follow God. And then everybody else, too. We can tell everybody else, come back to God, and we can be Christ's ambassadors at Christmas time. And then 2 Timothy 4, kind of similar, starts out, it says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. We ought to teach the kids what's real about Christmas. I don't mind the fun stories and the decorations, but let's not let the kids miss out on what Christmas is truly about. Jenna opened up the present and said the best gift that Jesus gave us was that anybody could ever get was eternal life, and Jesus gave us that through his sacrifice. So let's remember what Christmas is truly about. I love Christmas. I love it. I listen to Christmas music all year round. It's my favorite time, but it's not because of a day in the year. It's not because of gifts or Christmas trees or whatever. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's why I love Christmas. And for us to take that message and teach it to the world is the best gift that we can ever give anybody. There's one more. Hebrews chapter 12 starts off. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin. So it's saying, yeah, it's a struggle, but you haven't given your lives. Follow your champion, Jesus Christ. Do what he did. He went to the point of death. So if you haven't gotten there yet and you're still having a problem with sin, maybe you need to go that far. But it's saying here, it doesn't take that much. It just says, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and you'll be able to overcome this struggle. And you'll be able to live a life just like he lived, a perfect life, a holy life, where you are morally, your heart is pure, and you make the right decisions. You are called to do that and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I hope and pray that you guys have a wonderful Christmas. I hope that this holiday season is just a blessing to you in every way. I hope you get to spend time with your families. I hope you get to enjoy worshiping all the time. I hope you get to, open presents and enjoy the warmth of the spirit of the season. I really do. But don't let any of the superfluity of this season crowd out what Christmas is truly about. Don't let any of it mar the message of Jesus, the massive significance of that little tiny baby born in a stable, in a place with animals. He had to spend his first night in a feeding trough, wrapped in strips of cloth, And that's all he had. That's how he started. And he would come to change the entire world, to flip this place upside down and to offer new eternal life to anybody who was willing to reach out and grab it, anybody who was willing to run after their champion and to fight that struggle against evil and wickedness and to stand for what's right and to do what's right. The scripture that was read this morning, the story in Luke, it says that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the one angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this. By this sign, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." I pray this Christmas that you will be one of the ones with whom God is pleased. If you're not right now, here's the scary thing to me. If you know about Christmas, you know Jesus was born to come and change the world and save our souls. You know about Easter, when Jesus gave his life and then came back and resurrected to prove who he was and that he had the power that he had. If you know about this and you disregard it and you walk away, here's the scary thing. You deserve hell 100 times more than people who have never actually heard this message. I mean, God's written his law in everybody's hearts, but we have heard this over and over and over and over every single year, our entire lives, and there's still people who know this story and are filling their lives with sin and wickedness and evil and making horrid, wretched excuses for why they trample the cross. Let this Christmas be a time when you remember what Jesus Christ did for all of us, the vast, immense cost that he gave up in heaven to come down and give his life and to live with us, because he wanted so much to reach out and grab us and say, "I'm here for you, change your life, I want to save you, and I'll do anything I can to make that possible. I'll give you my life if you'll turn your life around." Turn your life around this Christmas. Live for God. Live with a pure heart. Be holy. Don't walk away from this. Take this gift and let it change you. By the power of God, let your life be transformed and made new. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for how much you have given us, for that you held nothing back, that you were willing to give it all, to give us the best gift that we could ever gift and that and ever have, and that's eternal life with you. Thank you so much, Jesus. You are just the best ever. And we love you, and we're so thankful for you. And I pray that you would help us to carry the Christmas message to everybody we know, to share this good news of great joy with the whole world, and for our lives to be filled, to be overflowing with your love, and to out of our thanks and our joy and our graciousness to show you how much we would like to model our lives after you and to live for you and to do what's right. Thank you, Jesus, for this precious gift. In your name we pray. Amen.